Welcome to our Team Roundtable podcast, where we explore the hot topic of the week here at CRA Resources. And just a reminder for those of you tuning in for the first time, CRA Resources is a unique recruitment agency with a single focus of providing CRA staffing for clinical studies across North America. So let's get started. Angela, this week's topic is sometimes dreaded, often interesting. What is our hot topic of the week?
Sometimes dreaded. It is sometimes dreaded. It's about references. And dun, dun, dun. So this is so important because I think that one of the biggest issues that catch our candidates off guard is the request for references. And we as a team have been talking about it, trying to figure out, okay, let's talk about our target audience here. And I think people fall into a few different categories whenever it comes to references. First of all, I think sometimes people just don't think about it. You know, they're just start looking for their next job. They get their LinkedIn buttoned up and their resume is ready and they're all set and they're excited and they find this really cool oncology part-time gig that works perfectly and they go apply for it and they get on the call with Natalie or Jenny or whoever and then they go, okay, great. The next step is references. And then you feel this energy shift.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I didn't think about references. Yeah, exactly. So I think that's one thing. So we're going to talk about how to always be prepared. But I think the other target audience that this hits today are those individuals that have been out of work for a hot minute. It's a really tough market. And people have been out of work for a long time sometimes. And so how do you come up with relevant references when you have been searching and maybe your management was laid off when you were? Maybe, I mean, there could be like a whole host of those types of things that you're going through. And so we're going to address that head on today, too, and give you some strategies that you can walk away from with that, too, because I think that's really important, which brings us to the whole laid off. What do you do if you're sitting in that room and they're breaking up with you? How do you handle it? And how do you keep your mind about yourself to know what to ask and how to be prepared? Because you're going to have to look for a job. And so what does that look like? And now is the time to look at that strategy. Hopefully you'll never be in that layoff scenario, but now is the time to prepare just in case. It's kind of like having first aid. Prepare, you know, get your first aid training so that you can prepare in case your kiddo falls and bumps his head. It's really important to be able to do that. So by the time we wrap up today, hopefully you'll walk away with knowing what makes a reference actually useful, how to build and protect your reference list no matter where you are in your search or in your career trajectory, and then also how to handle that conversation with your potential references to prepare them for the discussion or having an honest conversation with us if you're having a hard time gathering them, because we run into that as well. So that's going to be what we do today. We're here to support you. So let's get to it.
And we're going to start off with what a reference is, because sometimes people are like, ah, my best friend at work, she will be my reference. And I just want to say, like, I love that you have a best friend at work, but that is not the reference we're looking for. We are looking, we aren't looking for a character witness. We're not looking for someone from the backyard barbecue or the after work drinks that thinks you're just a great time. We are looking for someone who has watched you work under pressure on a deadline and can speak to that with specificity. Oh, gosh, that's the word. And credibility.
Yeah.
So the words you want to think are recent and relevant. You know, recent is within the last 3 to 5 years. Relevant as in a supervisor, someone who managed you on a project. Or on the flip side, if you were a manager, a direct report, someone you provided direction to. Yeah, and someone who can be like, yes, they provided me with support in either situation.
Yep.
And they were, you know, that's where your mind frame needs to be, not your coworker who worked alongside of you. It's not the same impact. So managers, direct reports, depending on your title. And then here's something that I always, like when Angela talks about references and my brain starts shutting down, my heart starts going, because I always get really stressed about asking for references. I'm like, I don't want to bug somebody. Like, everybody's busy. We talk about it all the time. Everyone's busy. Everyone's got a million things going on. Let me show up to this person asking for a handout. That's how it feels. Like, I'm asking for a favor without having done anything, it feels like, which isn't true, because if you like... You got, it's not an imposition. You're asking, you value that person so much, you trust their opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, how, what an honor. I'm like, I once was asked to be a reference for someone, a direct report reference, and I was like, okay. And it was amazing. I had the best time on that phone call. I was like, I love this person more than anything. Please hire her. And then, if you're on the flip, you just got to kind of like mentally flip it. Like, if you're a former colleague reached out to you and say, hey, I'm doing something exciting, I'd love to have you in my corner, would you be irritated? Would you be excited?
I agree.
Yeah, tell me. I love it. I love feeling respected. So it's an important mind shift, one I'm working through myself sometimes, because, you know, I've worked through it previously, because it's a tough one. You know, you don't want to feel like you're asking for something for nothing, but you've done the hard work. Now you're just asking someone to be in your corner about it. And then when you provide your references, when you've plucked up that courage, you know, and you're providing someone recent and relevant, you know, there's something we're trying to learn from our side of it. You know, we're trying to ask, can you do the job? We're going to ask your references. Can they do the job? Can they show up and follow through? Would I want them on my team? Everything is context around those three kind of questions. And when we're looking at references, so you hand us your references, we also want to make sure they're like real. Because I remember that scene from Friends where Monica puts Chandler as a reference and is like, here, can you please, and like you see the telephone, he's like, yes, I was Monica's supervisor, and that doesn't fly. Yeah, right, like that doesn't fly anymore. Yeah. we gotta be able to trust that who we're talking to was actually a manager. So we are going to verify, we are going to look for them online, we're going to look for a LinkedIn digital, we want to see a we want to see a professional presence. Just because you say they are, well, you know, I believed in Santa till I was like obnoxiously old. So that doesn't always fly, what people just tell us, you know? And so we want to know that who they are is who you say they are. So help us help you in all the ways that we possibly can.
I do want to add, I was just going to say you mentioned the relevant and the recent, more so the relevant. I want to add in there, when someone's sending you the reference information for you to complete for an opportunity that you are interested in, and just because you don't have the relevant reference that company is asking for, don't just put something that's not relevant, because it's going to make it look worse on your end, if that makes sense. Be honest. Yeah. Like, hey, I don't have this. Be honest with whom you're speaking about regarding the references, because that goes a longer way versus just ignoring that part and adding somebody else that's not relevant per that company's instructions, if that makes sense.
I agree. Oh, yeah. Following the instructions is important anyway. I had a gal once that, and this, to be fair, this was several years ago, but I think it was probably 2012 or 2013, and she provided a reference from 1998. And I was like, okay, well, first of all, I was a bartender in 1998. So if I gave somebody a reference from there, all they're going to be able to talk about is how good I was at pouring drinks and chit-chatting with people at the bar. I mean, the relevancy really is important. Now, I know that's a big extreme difference, but I've had people that provided their pastors, and then I've had people that have provided their spouse or boyfriend pretending to be a site, their sister pretending to be a supervisor, and just don't. Right. Just don't do that, because and we just had someone this week that went through our reference process and provided two supervisors and two sites. Only one of the sites responded and one of the supervisors responded, but that supervisor has zero digital footprint. I can't use that. I can't, because my clients will do the digital footprint analysis and they're going to say, how do you know this is valid? Zero digital footprint support. They're not using a business email address. I'm not saying it's fraudulent, but I can't prove that it isn't. And so that validity, that really does matters a lot. And so I would agree. I think all of those tips are really important and very strong.
I've never understood why people are like, oh, here's a reference from my very first role. Because I'm like, if I gave you a reference from my very first role at the beginning of my career path, I'm like, that would not be a great reference because I'm so much better now like than I was 10 years ago. Like, talk to my manager now. I'm so much better than I was 10 years ago, you know?
Well, I think one time it's really important to think about your references is when a layoff happens. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in this industry, it does happen. And it might be a special challenge because you weren't thinking about looking for a job at that time. It, you know, might have taken you by surprise. You might kind of be a little in shock and your brain might not be thinking about references at moment. Exactly. But that is actually one of the best times to think about your references. And if you can kind of keep that in the back of your mind for if this ever happens to think about references in that moment, that's a great time to ask your managers if there'll be a reference for you. Most of them would love to help. I mean, they want to help you find another job. They're probably also sad this layoff is happening and would love to be able to help if they can. So that'll be a great time to just, you know, quickly can keep it brief and, you know, keep it gracious and just ask, you know, before I go, would you be willing to serve as a reference for me? Would it be okay if I followed up with you in the coming weeks on that? And make sure you get their contact information then, because we see this all the time where it's maybe been a few months or a year. And then when we ask, oh, can you provide manager references? They'll say, oh, I don't have that contact information anymore. I don't know how to find them. So yeah, so avoid that problem right up front and, you know, just ask right away. And most of them will be, you know, thrilled to be able to help you if they can.
Because they feel bad delivering that news. I mean, right? It is not easy on a manager to lay people off. And so they'll be absolutely, let me know what you need. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's also a great time to ask for LinkedIn recommendations as well. That always looks great on your LinkedIn profile. A great time to ask your colleagues and managers at that time as well, because you know your people are going to be looking at your LinkedIn soon as you start job hunting again. So just kind of having that mindset ahead of time, and hopefully the layoff won't happen. But if it does, be a little more prepared when it comes to references.
Yeah, and I would. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go on, Angela. I keep interrupting you today.
No, actually, I think we're in tune today, Miss Natalie.
We are.
So Roger, my husband, whenever we first got together way back in the day, long before CRA Resources was created, I was still with IBM, but he felt like he was getting ready to be let go from his company. The company was going through some major struggles, most of it because of ethics, but that's a whole different discussion. And I helped him craft a recommendation letter. And he carried that recommendation letter with him for about 2 weeks until he was called into the office, because he knew it was coming. He could feel it. And he was called into the office. And of course, the recommendation letter talked about the fact that, you know, what he did, you know, the contributions that he made. But unfortunately, due to whatever, the company was having to downsize. But I highly recommend him, blah, 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 blah. And so they called him into his office. The manager's upset. And the manager is usually upset because they have to deliver those news, especially if it's face-to-face, sign that recommendation letter right on the spot. And that was really handy because the company was having ethical dilemmas. And they later said they didn't lay him off, that he quit. So Roger had the letter, the signed letter. And so he was able to still get unemployment until he was able to cobble something else together. But that was really handy. And again, I'm not saying that all companies are unethical, but for him, it really helped because he was able to get his unemployment and now he had a recommendation letter and it was just right there. Now, I know we're more digital today, but that's the way you should plan. When you guys know if you're in the business, if the company's struggling, you know, if the CRO lost a big sponsor, you know, sometimes you don't always know, but if you kind of sense it's coming, to what Jenny's talking about, get your recommendations on your LinkedIn profile, get connected to these people on LinkedIn, because even if you lose their phone numbers, you're connected with them on LinkedIn, and start trying to make sure that you're gathering the materials you need to be able to use those references, because you're going to need them at some point. Even if you voluntarily leave, you're going to need them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. And that was, I was going to mention a little bit about that. Don't let time pass before you start thinking about references. Always have the references on the back end, you know, for yourself to hold on to them. I know some people, like Jenny said, they get laid off, they're upset, or whatever the case may mm-hmm. be, they don't think about it at that moment. Totally get that. You're in the moment, you're feeling your emotions. But then once you get out of those emotions and you start thinking about it, even if you think, you know, I'm going to take some time off, I'm going to get some ducks in a row in my personal life before I start looking, start thinking about your references then. But if you don't and you let time pass, couple of suggestions that I would make is start by working backwards through what is available. So start thinking, okay, who was my recent direct supervisor? Even if it ended several months ago or, you know, a year or two ago. And then like, if, you know, depending on what type of references the company is asking for, think about those references. Okay, who was my last supervisor? Who was my last person that I really worked well at a site level? Who was my last person? So forth and so on. And then you want to warm that reference back up. You want to reach out to them. Even if you don't have an email or a phone number, go on LinkedIn. See if you can find them. Send them a message. Hey, I was thinking about our time working at X company. Just wanted to reconnect. Start the conversation that way. And then say, hey, would you ever mind to provide me with a personal reference as I'm getting back into the workforce and I know I'm going to be asked for references. Mm-hmm. Little things go a long way.
Right.
Even if they're not on LinkedIn, if it's something to where it was at a site level or, you know, the company level, call the places, find them in the directory, leave them a very personal voicemail like, hey, it's Natalie. Da, 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 da. I don't know if you remember me. It's been a few months or so, but we'll love to, you know, ask you a question if you can please give me a call back, and you leave your phone number. Little things like that will go a long way. But the number one thing that I will say, though, is when time has passed, be honest with the recruiter about it. Hey, it may take me a few days. I need to reach out to these folks. Don't just say, okay, no problem. And then you fill out what you can fill out in the reference instructions and then don't say nothing about it. Because then on our end, we're going to be like, she or he is not following directions. She or he is not taking it serious. And then it's just a bigger red flag for us, if that makes sense. So
I love that you mentioned that, because you guys do see that a lot. I do. The back office, we check the references, but you guys ask for them, and you'll have the conversation with the individual and they'll say, absolutely, I can give you supervisor and site references. And then they come to the form and Savannah's like, oh, there's no site references.
And I'm like, but I told them. It's frustrating because, you know, I want to help you. I want to get you the job. But you got to follow the process and you got to meet us halfway. And if you don't follow the process or, you know, don't communicate with us, it's hard for us to meet you halfway. So.
And the key is transparency. Just tell us what the problem is and let's see if we can solve it together. Mm-hmm. But don't pretend the problem doesn't exist and then try to shield it on the back end, because to your point, that is a worst scenario. And and we live in an industry to where everyone that works in this industry has to address issues head on. I mean, that's the point of a CRA too, isn't it? Go identify what's broken. Let's talk about it. Let's put something into place to fix it. You know, I mean, isn't that, I'm kind of dumbed it down quite a bit, but that's the point. And if you're not dealing with references with the same rigor, it does raise a flag. Just tell us what's going on. Let's see if we can figure out a solution for it, because there are instances to where we can work around things. I mean, for example, if we're representing someone for a permanent position and they've been a permanent at a place for like 5 years and they can't provide supervisor references because they're afraid they're going to be let go, right?
Right.
Have that conversation with us, and then we can hold on that part of the references until you get an offer. We can't do it for contract, but we can for perm. So there are some things, but talk to us about what's going on and let's see if we can work together to help you come up with a solution. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this conversation, ladies. And for those of you who are listening and are still currently employed, you're probably like, well, what do I do? When you're still employed and you're trying to get references, you're going to want to be really strategic about it. I know last week we were talking about the sneaky job search, and then we called it discreet. So we need to be discreet here. People who you can approach are your former supervisors at your previous companies that you've worked at. Another one is your former colleagues who are no longer at your current employer. Mm-hmm. We do this one a lot. I've sent this actually a couple times this week already, where we give people the option, you know, we have very specific requirements for our references. You know, one of them is, you know, they have to be relevant within the last 5 years. We have some candidates that have been at permanent positions for like 3 to 4 years, and they can't really give us a current one. It might put their own job in jeopardy if they ask. So we always let them know, like, if there was anyone at your current employment that has left already,
yeah,
we can take those. And then a light bulb goes off. People are like, oh, okay, perfect. I know so-and-so. They managed me like a year or two ago. I'll put them. And I'm like, there, great. That's perfect. That's what we want. So it doesn't have to be who's your current supervisor, because you kind of want to avoid that unless you have an extremely trusted relationship. You also want to avoid colleagues who won't keep your search confidential. I did this on accident at my last job. I told I was very close with my colleague turned supervisor. You know, we would kiki, we would gossip, we would do all the stuff, we were very close. Getting her reference wasn't the problem, but I neglected to think about the fact that she is a lot closer with one of the doctors that worked there, who was a very loudmouth individual, and that who also had a very closer relationship with my boss. So it's like, I don't know if the chain ever went that way, but you need to just think about that stuff when you're doing that one.
I wouldn't trust anybody. I mean, if you don't know for sure, it's hard.
It's best. Yeah. Probably best not to.
But on the flip, if you told me anything, I'd be like, that's not my business. That's her business. I know, I'm not telling anybody anything, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I know. I get it.
It's hard though, isn't it? It's hard to trust people. I hate that. Mm-hmm. I hate to be jaded. I'm so jaded.
I can't trust anyone. I know.
Everybody's out to get me. No, I mean, it's a valid concern, isn't it? Whenever you have a job and you're trying to look for something else and you're trying to figure out how to cobble those references together.
And again, it goes back to transparency. Let us know that, you know.
I think the other thing, and Savannah, you touched on this, and I don't know that you finished your topic yet, but you said, you know, all of us have said supervisors. But I think, especially whenever you're in a sneaky job search or you're permanently employed and you're a little concerned about providing references, because it doesn't have to be a titled supervisor. It can be anybody who's provided you work direction. Anybody who's provided you work direction. That should open up a whole host of things. It's not necessarily your clinical ops lead who, you know, provides the day-to-day work direction. It can be anyone that's provided you work direction. Now, I'm not saying mentor and I co-monitored with them and I trained them when they came on board people. That's not what I'm looking for. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, someone that's actually provided you work direction, and that might open up the gates a little bit more because they're not as invested in you staying. And would be as upset about you leaving.
Yeah. And just like Jenny said earlier too, the LinkedIn recommendation section is really good to use. You can just go to the add section button on your LinkedIn profile and we'll add it. It's usually at the bottom, but you can, that's a great place to just start gathering your references and your recommendations there. So you already have them. It's right there, and make sure you keep it updated, but also make sure you're also, you know, giving those references as well on LinkedIn. You know, don't give them just to get one back, but you know, show that you're a team player. You want everyone to have a job. Yeah. And then if a hiring team asks for your current supervisor reference before an offer, it's really okay to tell them that you're able to, you know, you'd be happy to provide strong references from your previous role, but that you are still conducting a confidential search. And the hiring teams are going to respect you more for being honest with that. Like, I can't get you this right now, but I could get you this. And, you know, working with that person, you know, we can do that too.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, because if you tell a company that, you know, I'm doing a confidential search, so I can't give you references from my current team, but I can from my most recently completed project. If that company is not okay with that, then you just dodged a bullet, because that speaks to the culture of that company. Mm-hmm. So now we are talking about within the last 5 years, though. I think it becomes a bit more tricky if you've been an employee somewhere for like 8, 10, 12 years. That's going to be really tough because you're going to have to be able to provide some type of validation. But this goes back to what we were talking about. You've had somebody that's left there within the last, you know, 5 years that can speak to your experience and your work ethics and all of those things. So, yeah, all really great topics, you guys. So in closing, those of you guys that are listening in, we talked about what a strong reference is, what it isn't. We talked about how you should be building that reference list today. Don't wait until you need it. Networking is so important, you guys, and that's all this is your networking. You're networking with people that you take work direction from. You're networking with people that you give work direction to. Those are probably the two biggest powerhouse categories that you would leverage whenever you're dealing with references. Network, build those relationships, keep them, connect with them on LinkedIn, write them recommendations, let them write you recommendations, stay connected. And if you do get laid off, try to have that wherewithal while you're sitting in the room to say, I need a reference. And if you are in shatters, which I get it if you are, don't let too much time lapse before you go back to them and ask. Once you kind of get to where you're starting to calm and you're starting to think about next steps, ask then. Don't let too much time lapse. So, but the biggest key takeaway I think here is just work with your recruiters. Be honest about it. Tell them what's going on. We can help you problem solve it. The requirement is still the requirement, but let's come up with a solution together so that you can still get the references that you need in order to be able to move forward.
See, references, not so dreadful. You think they are, but really, it's just a way to like where everyone gets to be really honest and transparent. And we're building up Angela's trust because right now she doesn't trust, but we're going to learn how to trust again.
Guys, I trust all of you guys. And I said this before we started recording to all you guys that listen. And that's the thing, because we do hear all the time, oh, I don't want to bother my references. If any one of my team members asked me for a reference, first of all, I'd be gutted that they were leaving, but I would give it. Because that's the point. There are people that you trust and that you would go to bat for. Your references will do that for you. And so don't be afraid to ask.
Thank you, team. And thank you, Angela. I look forward to receiving my references. Very.
No, you can never leave. You never leave.
Okay. Well, I guess you're going to hear me on this podcast for the rest of all time. But thank you, everyone, for this discussion. And thank you all out there for listening. If you want to explore more of our content, you can visit craresources.com/blog to check out our latest articles and additional podcasts. You can also sign up to get this content delivered to your inbox. And feel free to reach out at craresources.com for more information about our firm. We can't wait to work with you.